The Philadelphia Church of God presents The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ with Stephen Fleury.
If you'll turn with me to 1 John 2, I want to read, first of all, from the Revised Standard Version, 1 John 2 and verse 18. Children, it is the last hour. Now, that's really the way it should be translated. It's not that way in the King James. It is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. We're in the last hour, brethren. We really are in the last hour. Now, brethren, when that last hour strikes, well, then we're into it. And the other side of that last hour is going to be when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. So we're obviously getting very close to the return of Jesus Christ. And God keeps setting the stage for us here as we go along.
On May 5th, 2001, God revealed to Mr. Gerald Fleury that it is the last hour, a short period of time of intensified world trouble and suffering before Christ returns. 4 months later, America experienced the greatest attack on its soil ever. God allowed that attack to happen to reinforce that we are in the last hour.
We are, brethren, living in the last hour. We're in the death throes of this nation. Well, this is a whole new world, and indeed it is. It is the last hour. And you've never seen anything like it's going to be in this last hour. It's never been this way. We never have anything in history, or never have had anything in history to measure it by. It's going to be that bad. Why did Christ coordinate this to happen so quickly after he revealed about the last hour? Jesus Christ lives. Jesus Christ is alive. And I think, first of all, he probably wanted us to have that sink into our minds and be a reality in our minds that it is the last hour.
The 9/11 attacks reinforce that we are living in the last hour. Since the last hour began on May 5th, 2001, the world has not been the same, just as Mr. Gerald Fleury said in his sermon following the 9/11 attacks.
This is the last hour, and we're going to have to expect it to be different than any other hour in the history of man.
After 9/11, the United States began its war on terror. In 2001, it invaded Afghanistan. In 2003, Iraq. Both campaigns ended in failure, costing nearly $3.5 trillion and thousands of U.S. soldiers. America's strength was spent in vain. Events have accelerated at a rapid pace since May 2001. In 2008, a mortgage collapse in America triggered the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. This led the United States government to spend billions to bail out the banking and insurance industries. The ripple effect of this crisis haunts the world today and has also contributed to Germany's economic dominance over Euro member nations. Also, in 2008, Barack Obama was elected president of the United States. He vowed to fundamentally transform the nation. He succeeded. The Constitution came under assault. Racial violence surged. America became more divided than ever. In 2011, Obama contributed to the outbreak of the Arab Spring in the Middle East. This event helped destabilize the Middle East and empower radical Islam. It led to the Syrian civil war that led to millions of Muslim refugees flooding into Europe. In 2014, Russia annexed Crimea, not long after Mr. Gerald Fleury identified Vladimir Putin as the prophesied Prince of Rosh. 8 years later, in 2022, under the Biden administration, Putin would return to try and finish the job, launching a full-scale war against Ukraine. That war has contributed to the rise of the German defense industry as well. In 2016, Britain, the biggest counterweight to German dominance in the European Union, voted to leave the EU, just as Herbert Armstrong had forecasted decades prior. That same year, Donald Trump was elected President of the United States. In 2020, COVID plagued the world, costing millions of lives and over $16 trillion. That same year, race riots broke out across the U.S. In the fall, President Trump had the election stolen from him, and months later, Joe Biden, an extension of Barack Obama, entered the White House. In 2022, under Biden's watch, Putin launched a full-scale war against Ukraine. In 2023, the Iranian-backed terror group Hamas carried out the October 7 attack against Israel, the worst attack against Jews since the Holocaust. In 2024, President Trump returned to the White House. These world-shaking events have been happening at a more frequent pace since the last hour began. The King of the South is pushing. The King of the North is rising. The Psalm 83 Alliance is taking shape. The stage is being set. God revealed the last hour to Mr. Gerald Fleury to warn the world of what is happening, but to also give hope to those who turn to God before it's too late.
But here is our head who revealed to us that we're in the last hour. And I think he may have done this for more than just one reason. But it shows that the head of our church is alive.
The living Christ is directing and empowering his church, the Philadelphia Church of God, to boldly proclaim his warning message to the world. The last hour is not only a sign that the pace of troubling world events is accelerating, it shows Jesus Christ is returning soon.
I tell you, brethren, God is on a countdown. Jesus Christ is on a countdown. And the only people on this earth that know it is this little group right here. There is nobody else. This is the last hour, and we're going to have to expect it to be different than any other hour in the history of man.
Countdown is on. It's pretty sobering when you look back over these past 25 years and see so many world-shaking events. And yet still, we can be lulled to sleep. We can get spiritually complacent. God wants us to watch world events. Jesus told us to do this. Watch. And he said, pray as well. Pray always so that you know when his return is near. Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. On this program, we point you to the only reliable source of information there is when it comes to Jesus Christ and his ministry and his teachings. And that source, of course, is the Holy Bible. Today, I want to draw your attention to the Olivet Prophecy. We'll go to Matthew 24 here in just a bit, but you should know that that prophecy, that was in the final week of Jesus Christ's ministry, and his mind was on the second coming. It was on a lot of things, obviously. He was about to be crucified. There was the war at Gethsemane, the war of the wills. But he also gave this incredible prophecy. And that prophecy in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, it parallels what's prophesied in Revelation 6 about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. God wants us to know. He wants us to know where we are in Bible prophecy. He wants our minds on the second coming of Christ. You'll see here in just a second that the minds of the disciples in the first century was very much on the second coming. All of these events, there was a prophecy is dual. There was a first century destruction that certainly happened around Jerusalem. But as Christ lays out in Matthew 24, he's talking about the last days. He's talking about all of these events to unfold or to happen just before he returns to this earth. Now, you look at the last 25 years, you look at the last hour, as my father said there in that cold open video. If you look at 9/11, If you look at everything that has changed in the world, dramatically so, ever since, you know that it is near in the first trumpet that we produced following 9/11. My father said, God really knows how to get people's attention. The Twin Towers were the tallest buildings in New York. The Pentagon is the largest office building in the world. These were citadels of the greatest financial and military power in the world. They symbolized America's greatness. But their destruction is just the beginning of sorrows. It's a little foretaste. That's what we said back when it happened. And of course, the whole nation, the world, in fact, was sobered by what happened on 9/11. And there's plenty of people that want to turn it into a conspiracy theory, or that just want to erase that history and don't show any images or video of what happened on that dreadful day. But God says, you remember, and more importantly, you learn the lessons that you need to learn or take away from events as tragic as that, and get your minds on God and the things of God and the return of Christ. The latest issue of our Trumpet magazine, it's got a headline, Are You Running from God? How many people fall into that category? Maybe they know a little bit of the truth. They've studied some of the literature that we send out. They've gone through some of the scriptures that we cover on this program. But they aren't fully committed. Or maybe they're trying to push it out of their mind and not even think about the prophecies of God. That's not the way the first century disciples thought. Their minds were on prophecy. Their minds were on the return of Jesus Christ. Notice Matthew 24, as I say, this chapter parallels the prophecies in the opening verses of Revelation 6. And this booklet will tie it all together for you. If you don't have a copy of this booklet, we offer it without cost or obligation. And it's the same for the Trumpet magazine. You can subscribe to that for a year, and there's no cost. Notice Matthew 24 and verse 3, it says, And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples, so just the students, just the few, his public ministry is now over, and he's just talking to a handful of students that he had been training for 3.5 years. And they came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming? Your second coming, in other words. And the end of the world. Were they getting caught up into extreme religion? Radical religion? They wanted to know, what's going to be the sign of your second coming? What's going to be the sign of the end of this age? Verse 4, it says, And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. Here again, you look at Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2, and you see just how pervasive religious deception is. It's amazing. Anymore, a popular podcaster is talking about Jesus Christ or having a discussion with someone else about Jesus Christ. They want to know. It's a popular topic at the moment. But are they really looking at what Jesus Christ said, what he taught, how he prepared his disciples, his students, for the second coming? Verse 5 says, For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They're going to come in the name of Jesus Christ. They're going to come proclaiming Jesus Christ. And they're going to deceive many. That's religious deception right there. Paul warned of it. Peter warned of it. The Apostle John. It's all through the New Testament. It's coming. Just beware. Be ready. The imposters are going to try to get into the true church and deceive you about what Jesus Christ taught, about Jesus himself. Deceive many. This is Christ. This is what Christ was saying in his final week. This is Revelation 12 and verse 9. that kind of widespread deception. Verse 9, it says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." All through the New Testament, it speaks of God's church as a little flock. And yet here, it talks about many being deceived. We've got other literature that can point you to the history of God's true church, but maybe I can get into that at another time. But just look at what Christ is saying here. He's saying to his disciples, they're going to come after you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to hate God's work. They're going to fight against it. Verse 11, "And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many." I'm just hitting the high spots here, but you look at all these events and see how it culminates in verse 21. Verse 22, it says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." It says, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved or saved alive, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." So this is talking about global cataclysm, widespread catastrophe that, as I say, is really going to make things like 9/11 seem like a tiny, tiny little preview, just a drop in the bucket. Great tribulation, unlike anything that this world has ever seen. And then in the next few verses, again, it talks about religious deception. Look at how much damage that religious deception, you know, the white horse of Revelation 6, causes. It looks or sounds godly. There's a form of godliness, as Paul wrote, but it causes so much trouble. And that's been throughout history, too. So it shouldn't come as a surprise or a shock that religion has fueled a lot of war, a lot of fighting, a lot of division. Back to verse 6, it says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet," it says in verse 7, "for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." This is all prophesied, and it's primarily for the end time. Dismiss it. Dismiss it to your own peril. People say, well, they've had these kinds of things all throughout history. The time today, it's just like it was 1,000 years ago. Nothing new here. No, it's intensifying. And Christ, after giving all of these details, he says in verse 8, all this is just the beginning. It's going to get worse. Let me just give you a quote from our booklet, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. It says, "Immediately following, and as a direct result of worldwide religious deception and World War III, the first and second horsemen, respectively, a great famine like none before it or ever again will strike this earth with frightening force and fury. This time, instead of only affecting war-torn regions or the third world, it will affect the first world nations." This is what's coming, and we're speaking on this program on the authority of Jesus Christ. I just read you so many of the verses. This is what he was trying to prepare his disciples for. And who are his disciples today? Well, look for those that are following in Christ's steps. Look for those who are teaching from the Olivet Prophecy. We could, even though it's a hot topic, we could use a little less vanity and self-righteousness and intellectual reasoning. And just let the Bible interpret itself. Talking about Jesus is not going to solve the problems of this world. Submitting to his teachings, coming underneath God's family government, that's what God is aiming for, and that is coming once that government of God is set up on this earth. And that happens at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Notice this again, going back to the first Trumpet magazine that we had right after 9/11. My father wrote, "The World Trade Center attacks caused panic in a lot of people around the U.S. What do you think they will do when the sorrows get worse and worse?" You saw in that montage at the beginning. It's easy to forget, especially if you're glued to your device. But look at the earth-shaking jolts that we've seen just in 25 years. It's building. It is building toward what Jesus describes in Matthew 24, a passage again that you have to put together with Revelation 6 in this little booklet. We'll do that for you. Make sure that you go to the website, lifeandteachings.com, or send in a text request for the literature, and we'll get this out to you straight away. Also, while you're at it, make sure that you request a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine. We'll be right back.
Bible prophecy is alive. The events shaping our world right now and in the near future were written down in advance in your Bible. You just need to know where to find those prophecies and how to read them. That's what the Philadelphia Trumpet magazine does for you. Like its predecessor, Herbert W. Armstrong's Plain Truth, the Trumpet shows you how Bible prophecy applies to today's headlines and to your own life. While the world reacts to events as they happen, only the Trumpet magazine shows you where they're headed. It gives you tomorrow's news today. Read or download the latest Philadelphia Trumpet magazine at thetrumpet.com. You can order your free subscription to the Trumpet magazine and hold the hope of Bible prophecy in your hands. Just visit thetrumpet.com for your free subscription. Get tomorrow's news today with the Philadelphia Trumpet at thetrumpet.com.
God is giving us the blessings of Abraham, but that blessing is not continuing because we have not obeyed God since we got it. God has given it to the United States and the British people because of Abraham's obedience and not because of our obedience. And now, because of our disobedience, all the blessings are being taken away from us. The British Empire, before World War II, said the sun never sets on the British Empire. They had a slogan, Britannia rules the waves, and Britain is no longer dominant. The British Empire is gone, and the United States is going down, 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 because we don't obey. We got the blessing because of Abraham, and because of Abraham's obedience. In the United States, we print on our money, in God we trust, but we don't trust in God. You can't disobey God or thumb your nose at God and prosper.
It's not a popular message, but a lot of people did listen to that man, Herbert Armstrong, during his ministry, to his radio program, The World Tomorrow, the TV program, and they read the Plain Truth magazine, and they read his books, and they listened for a time. Now maybe a lot of them are just running from God. Are you running from God or from these prophecies? Jesus told his disciples there's coming a time when they're going to come after you, they're going to persecute you, and think they're doing God a service. Just like the Apostle Paul before his conversion, he was on his way to Damascus to kill Christians, true Christians. And then look at what God had to do to humble him, to turn him around in the right direction. And then Paul was on the receiving end of intense persecution and finally executed in 68 AD. And the same happened to Peter, just like with Jesus Christ. This is New Testament history. So the disciples, they come to Christ, they say, okay, tell us all that's going to happen before you return, before the second coming, before the end of this age. Verse 10, it says, this is Matthew 24, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. That's for the last days. Lots of offense, lots of hatred, lots of family division. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There's just going to be so much iniquity, so much sin, so much lawlessness. It's going to abound. And because of that, people are going to lose their love for God and for His truth and for what Jesus taught. The love of many shall wax cold. You can actually be in God's true church and lose your love, God's love, and end up running from God. If you've been doing that, now's the time to turn around and run back to God. Have your Damascus moment, like Paul did. Verse 13, it says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That word for endure, it means to remain, to have fortitude, to persevere. Thayer says, to persevere absolutely and emphatically under misfortunes and trials, to hold fast to one's faith, to endure, bear bravely and calmly, absolutely. That's how convicted we have to be as true Christians. We have to stay the course. We have to persevere. We have to remain. We have to have fortitude. Watch, Jesus said, he said, watch and pray always so that you'll know. That's also in Matthew 24. You'll know when the second coming is near. Don't forget to order The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse and subscribe to The Trumpet Magazine. That's all we have time for on today's show. We'll hope to see you again next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. To request the free literature on today's program, visit lifeandteachings.com.